week in Moscow, closing statements in the notorious Pussy Riot trial. On February 21st, the feminist punk collective Pussy Riot entered Moscow's largest church to produce a video asking for the Virgin Mary to, quote, drive Putin out. Three band members were apprehended and charged with hooliganism motivated by religious hatred. They could face up to 7 years in prison. Defendant Yekaterina Samutsevich told the court, "I now have mixed feelings about this trial. On the one hand, we now expect a guilty verdict. Compared to the judicial machine, we are nobodies, and we have lost. On the other hand, we have won." Now, she says, once again, Russia looks different in the eyes of the world from the way Putin tries to present it. Michael Idov, editor-in-chief of Russian GQ, wrote this week in the New York Times that the Pussy Riot trial was Russia's Nazis in Skokie moment. It's Hustler versus Falwell. But the prosecution is built purely on emotional appeals and imagery, starting with the image of the young women themselves as they appeared in the video.
Pussy Riot are space aliens. people can't really make heads or tails of them, and the interest that they command in the West is flabbergasting to the Russian public, because the Russians would love to have a pop band cross over and be a big success in the West. The fact that this happened to this, you know, radical artist collective that's not even a band, and now you have, you know, Madonna with the words Pussy Riot written on her back, and you have balaclavas becoming a protest fashion accessory.
Because they wear them to disguise their faces.
Yes, exactly.
Describe these women. Who are they?
Well, actually, if you look at their statements to the court, they are incredibly smart. When we talk about punks and punk rock, you have to realize they're, you know, art student types. Maria Alekhina, one of the defendants, her statement to the court included, I think, three instances of the word ontological. This also helps explain why the Russian musicians don't really speak up for them. Partly it's because they're afraid, but partly it's also because they're not really perceived as musicians in Russia, whereas when you look at them from the West, they actually form a much more familiar picture of sort of this edgy, you know, punk band.
Mm-hmm. They really seem to have the ability to enrage. Do you think it's because they pulled this stunt in a place regarded as holy, and that was a shocking and painful act of disrespect? That's the prosecution's argument.
The Church of Christ the Savior, and the fact that they picked that church, is very telling, because it's the church that was destroyed by Stalin and turned into a swimming pool. And then it was rebuilt after the fall of the Soviet Union, but it remains unloved. It's the official seat of the Orthodox Church, and as such, it's seen almost like a ministry, and I mean the ministry in the political sense of the word. By choosing the Church of Christ the Savior, I think Pussy Riot were targeting the specific connection of church and state, the connection that's grown disturbingly cozy under Putin.
You wrote that the liberal response there has involved language like, they should let these chicks go with a slap on the ass.
Well, that's the thing about Russian liberalism. It is closer to American libertarianism, I think, than what we usually mean by the word liberal. And it's completely normal for Russian liberals, including opposition leaders in public, to use derogatory terms for gays, for example, and generally not concern themselves with the minority rights, women's rights. And feminism is still a bit of a dirty word.
So would it have been better if instead of being cool and using words like ontological, they, in the weird glass box that Russian defendants sit in, they all just burst into tears?
Absolutely. If they decided to enact some sort of over-the-top remorse, yeah, public opinion would turn and their legal fortunes might turn as well. And that is one of the most upsetting things to contemplate, because law should not work like that. The persecution trotted out this array of sometimes strange characters who claimed to be, you know, mortally offended by Pussy Riot's actions and suffered great emotional damage. One of the things that the members of the band did on the very first day of the trial was to actually ask forgiveness of these people. What's interesting, none of these people, mostly church staff, has accepted their apology. They said it sounded ironic and insincere.
Do you think they have a chance to evade years in prison?
Oddly enough, after the Madonna performance, I feel like they do. I think that nobody in Russia expected the Western attention to the case to crest quite so high. I don't know, I might be unduly optimistic here, but I actually think that it did change things. And the fact that the sentencing was abruptly delayed by 10 days, it did feel like the prosecution and the court, in this case the prosecution and, you know, the judge are pretty much the same side, it felt like they were in a bit of a panic.
So you think Madonna could be crucial in this?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but yes, I do.
Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael Idov is a former contributing editor at New York Magazine and is now editor-in-chief of GQ Russia.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.